Welcome back, Love Boat Project, episode 18. I had to check. We're getting 18. Too far down the line here. Yep.
Yes.
That two-parter really threw me off. My number count is just all over the place. I'm Mike Robertson, along with Mike Taylor. Mike, welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. A good point about the two-parter. Thank you. It's not perfect, but you got to make it. You got to make it your own.
You got to earn it, right? You can't just give out captain's hats. Like, you know, you'll three or four seasons. You know what's funny? Now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of Captain Steubing sans chapeau today.
Super consistent.
Even in that very emotional scene, he made sure not to. I thought he would have in hand. He wasn't even that. So
he's just ridiculous. I will say this. I thought you made a good point about the episode numbers, because looking up, you got me on that IMDb bug after we talked about ratings? Last week about the ratings. Because now I'm like, well, now I'm obsessed with knowing highs and lows in a given season. Like, I just want to know if we've hit the floor, which we have
for
this season. I kind of like to know that, so now I just find myself cheating ahead a little bit, peeking ahead and looking at ratings, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good show if it's got good ratings.
My thought is with that, and we kind of talked about it last week. My thought is that basically everything is within the same range. And so when you see something that is completely off the board, that's when you know we're dealing with something. And I haven't seen anything that's like, oh my god, that's an 8.5 rating. Like, I don't think we're getting that. So
no strong nines by the judges.
Fun fact that I will not reveal today, we'll save it for the stubbies maybe.
Ooh.
I did find out that there was only one acting Emmy nomination ever for this show in any season ever, so we'll talk about that on the stubbies.
Can I ask, was it a recurring role, or was it a guest?
I can't tell you anything about it. We'll save it for the stubbies. Teaser. It's called a teaser in the business. Today, we are talking about, like I said, episode 18 of season 1, A Very Special Girl, Until the Last Goodbye, and The Inspector. Synopsis, I pulled this from the aforementioned IMDb. Melanie, popular with men, while her friend Jane is ignored. Brian Sherwood is spending a lot of time with a younger woman. The staff tries to figure out which passenger is the cruise line inspector. And then this toss-in line, a Russian man repeats the same phrase. IMDb tosses that in about as much as the plot tossed that in.
I think that's so funny. That's so funny. You know what's interesting, though, is that the fact that he's listed, right? Like, you can find his name associated with this episode.
Right.
I don't know if he was on the list.
He was not on the portals or the typing portals. So
it's just wild that, like, Jack Bernardi. I'm like, well, how is he even listed, like, for his role? Interesting.
Which I guess I did not pay much. There were a couple things in here that I kind of, like, observed that it happened, but it wasn't like, oh, I got to really detail all this. And whenever he popped up, I wasn't even paying attention that it was the same phrase. They could have absolutely said it was a different phrase.
Who knew we had a foreign language speaker? Did you hear the pronunciation in the end?
Oh, Julie? Yeah.
Come on, Julie.
That made me feel like it wasn't Russian, like it was some Slovak language that the actress actually, like, you know how on Full House, Uncle Jesse would constantly be doing Greek stuff. Same thing with Larry Dallas. It kind of felt like that. Like, maybe that was Julie's, you know, hat tip to Russia.
Like, she's making homemade pierogies and all this.
Church, right. Yeah.
In Portland, Oregon, where she's from. Right.
Right. She can't get home at Christmas.
Big Russian community in Portland.
Julie.
Shout out Russia.
Couple flashbacks for old Julie this week.
I noticed that too.
Yep.
There's a little, little look in that gleam in the eye.
She's got a type. She definitely has a type.
Yeah.
Original air date for this baby, February 11th, 1978. We are right in the shadows of Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
That's nice. I like that.
oddly enough, we are only a few days out from Valentine's Day, but this was not the Valentine's Day episode. I get the feeling next episode is the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, I hope so.
So despite all the romance that was involved in this one, we're now kind of sliding into what is the regular lineup competition on the other networks. Looks like we're dealing with Jefferson Maude Kojak over on CBS, which is a strong,
that's powerful.
That's a very strong lineup. NBC Movie, as always. I didn't go real deep into it. Robert Mitchum is playing Philip Marlowe, which I guess it's way different than Bogart, but maybe it's not.
I tell you, if I had a remote control, then I might pop in on it.
Oh, definitely.
Without a remote control.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this too, like not just the specific shows, but I mean, if you're a person, because back then TV was a much bigger deal. If you're a person that's just not, I'm a sitcom guy. Like, you know what I mean? You're never going to get those people. I find it interesting. Like, if you put a sitcom, forget the movie thing, right? That's right. Its own thing. If you're putting two sitcoms up against, you know, a show.
Right.
Wait, you know what? I just find it an interesting approach. Like, why wouldn't you hit that with sort of like a similar show? I don't know. It's just.
I think you go the opposite, right? It's counter programming.
We got to start figuring out ratings, I think, just to kind of see where we are. Yeah.
I'm sure we can find them.
Yeah.
Whether it's for the week or like for the season. But
just know, like, what cut of that, you know, where's it going up? Where's it losing? Right. And who's losing too? Because I can't imagine Love Boat's high. Like, at this point,
it's like you're the 13th ranked show, right? In a season that's both very good and very not good because there's only 40 shows channels or something right.
It's great, but it's not, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But you're still pulling in.
More people are watching the 13th ranked episode than anybody watches anything that isn't football now. So, I did want to highlight, Fantasy Island, because as we talked about, Fantasy Island is now on after this.
Yeah.
And
third episode.
I am curious to see. I really wanted to open up Fantasy Island and see that they are just running back old Love Boat.
Oh, same.
Not just
I would love
guest
to see
character, it. The whole
the character. Like the mythology expands to the island.
Like whoever was on episode 3 of the Love Boat is now on episode 3 of Fantasy Island. Maybe
like
even playing the same
Desperado character. From Dust Till Dawn. Everyone that dies in Desperado comes back as a vampire.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
But I did want to highlight, because we're not doing Fantasy Island project, but this week on Fantasy Island, which aired right after this, European Crown Prince Peter Denatoli becomes an average man to understand his subject's problems.
Ooh.
New York City cop John Burke tracks down his partner's killers to obtain revenge.
I like
revenge on the island either.
Maybe I'll like it better on the island. I don't know. I don't like it on the boat.
But the real counter programming on February 11th, 1978 didn't take place on your television set, my friend. It took place at the Philadelphia Civic Center. That's right. It was the opening night of the 1978 Philadelphia Boat Show.
Ooh.
The Civic Center is crammed full.
I wonder how much
400 power and sailing crafts on display. It's the most ever in the area. Open weeknights 5 to 10, Saturday 10, or noon to 10, and Sunday noon to 7.
Did you say noon to 10 or noon to 7?
Saturday, noon to 10.
That's good to know.
Sunday, noon to 7. Because you got to work in the morning. The kids got to get to school.
What's the ticket to that cost?
Oh, they didn't have it. It was disappointing.
Because I
just hate the fact that we lived within walking distance of where that was.
Boat show. That would have been
We could have
awesome.
Gone to the boat show constantly if we had lived there 30
years. It would have been a thing
earlier.
Every year. Yeah, it would have been every year. Oh, another boat show.
Yep. RV show. I used to go. I definitely went to all those. At least
I love an RV. I love all that.
So I thought that was fun. You can't just be sitting inside, and it's February. You gotta get outside.
It is February. Yeah, you gotta get outside to get inside.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to hide from it. I'd go. That'd be fun. It'd be a hoot. I think it'd be a hoot.
So I kind of said this last week, and it was even more so this week without the portals. This was probably a good example of, I think I probably knew a couple more people by face than by name, but it is a large cast list, and also a very unremarkable cast list.
Oh, who's who of nobodies?
Yeah. So Jim Backus not only leads off the credits, but obviously is the most famous person here as Marvin Waterman, incredibly wasted in his in his use. Like what a waste. It's the opposite of like when we thought they wasted Milton Berle, but they gave him like that dead prank story. You got Jim Backus on here and you're putting him in a C storyline.
Like, don't be economical in the way that you use him. No. You know, it was ridiculous. And then the fact that he was tied to that. They should have thrown her right over the board, right overboard. It's the second she got on the boat. Goodbye.
Mrs. Corwin?
Boom. Yeah.
Do you know who the actress who played Mrs. Corwin is?
She looked so familiar. Mrs. Corwin. I have her down as Patty McLeod, but I don't know who that is. Well, but she looks familiar.
What was her last name? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
McLeod.
It's pronounced McLeod.
McLeod.
Any idea who else has a last name of McLeod?
Yeah, the Highlander.
McLeod.
Duncan McLeod. McLeod? Do I know an act? What? Of McLeod.
You don't know another actor whose last name is McLeod.
McLeod.
Yeah. Spelled the same as what is on your sheet.
Now, we're talking somebody in the Love Boat universe or somebody outside of the
Love Boat universe? Yes, it's definitely somebody in the Love Boat universe that has the last name of McLeod. This is embarrassing.
I don't remember. We got to cancel this whole show.
You might know him as the guy who plays Captain Merrill Steubing, Gavin McLeod. It's his wife.
Oh my God. How did I not? Because I never think of Steubing played by. I just think of Steubing as Steubing, like he's a guy.
That's his wife. That is his wife.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought the same thing. I was like, she looks familiar. I looked her up and it said previously married to Gavin McLeod. They were married for a long time.
So they were married during this?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And I think she comes back a lot as different characters. We'll hit the other ones as we go. The whole couples storyline, both those guys are characters on soap, but they're playing against type, which is interesting.
What, Bob Segrin?
Bob Segrin played the quarterback, NFL quarterback, who was dating Billy Crystal. So he was playing a very against type here.
Oh, wow.
Because he's obviously like just a womanizing cold heart.
He's Mike Andrews. He's rude.
Right.
He doesn't give
a crude. Didn't care. He's got no. Mike Andrews. By the way, that guy got it done on the boat. He had a plan. He executed it.
I don't know what award he's nominated for, but he's nominated for something.
Yeah, but good for him that he wasn't Rick. Like, that was there's the line, right? That could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And then Doug was the priest in soap who ended up getting married to Diana Canova, who played the twins on episode 7.
Right.
It's all coming together.
Wow, it's one big...
We're also very deep on soap now. That's four... Soap
project. Yeah.
Four people? Yeah.
Yeah, that's four people. Wow.
That's four people, and I think this is the first time we... second time. I was going to say, because didn't we have Pat Morita and Anson Williams on the same one? That was a double Happy Days. So this is the second time we've done that. But I like
this. Interesting.
I actually like the stunt casting.
Yeah, it's fine. It was just a weird... okay.
The only other person I wanted to bring up in the credits specifically was Paul Burke, who I would say is probably the number two on this thing. He plays Brian Sherwood. I didn't know him by name. I didn't know him by looks.
His voice was familiar.
Well, he's been in a lot of things, and I think he ends up in this whole 70s action thing, you know, where he's in every show. But apparently at one time he was a huge star, big enough that he was in the Thomas Crown Affair with Steve McQueen. And Faye Dunaway, which is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But his career really went downhill when he was in the movie version of Valley of the Dolls, which was a huge bestseller.
I remember that. Yeah.
And apparently, Valley of the Dolls was awful. A noted
flop. Yeah, it was a huge flop. It's not even one of those, it's so bad, it's great kind of things. Yeah. It was just insultingly bad.
And back in those days, that could kill your career.
Well, that could be enough, right? Or what, they pin the failure on the, not pinning it on it, but.
I mean, essentially, like, they did. Just,
what, a studio's going to go, well, we're never banking on you again.
And that's pretty much what happened. So he was in that. He was in the Thomas Crown Affair. And then 4 years later, he's dying on the Love Boat. So it's just. So anything else on the credits before we get on the boat?
The only thing I want to bring up is our good friend Art Bear is back.
Yep. And Ben Johnson.
Fun fact. He wrote a total of, co-wrote or had a hand in writing a total of 62 episodes.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting.
This is our last, one with them this year.
Although I didn't love the story that they wrote this week.
Oh, really? Oh, we might disagree on that. I will say, so this is the last one for them this year. They did eight. They do eight again next year. After that, I'm not sure how much it keeps up, but if you're saying 62, that's probably around the average.
Wow.
I will say there is a warmness that comes over me when I see the credits mention that those guys wrote one.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. So, but doesn't sound like you maybe had the same feelings, but we'll get to that.
No, it's not a knock on Art Bear or the writing. It's just,
not your style.
No.
All right, well, let's get on the boat. And we start with that very storyline. Brian Sherwood is nervously pacing in the lobby.
And smoking.
He's nervous.
Smoking, like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, really good for your medical condition there, guy. Julie assures him that the boat won't leave for 30 minutes and that, quote, she will show up. Julie's already got her, claws out for this old
Julie's
gentleman.
Julie's already undressing at this point. Yeah. She's being fitted for rings in her head. Oh, she's so ready to just change her last name at the drop of a hat.
Definitely got a type.
Oh,
good. Yeah,
older. So. The type is older.
It's been a few weeks since Julie was kind of on the prowl, and it doesn't go far, but it would have. When she went down to talk to that daughter later in the woman later in the episode.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to ice her out.
She's just, I thought Doc and her were getting a little weirdly close. That dancing. Look, I understand people dancing, but they're smushing. They don't even know each other.
Yeah, there was a lot of
weird,
a lot of close dancing.
Yeah, people and just awfully familiar.
Not inappropriateness. Yeah.
Inappropriateness. Exactly.
So meanwhile, Doc and Julie are in there ogling this old man. Gopher is up to his eyeballs in people coming in. Like, we have watched 17 episodes where people are just walking in willy-nilly.
No
Nobody's
problem.
Checking anything.
And, no order.
And now Gopher is reaping what he has sown because everyone is in line and everybody's pissed off.
Well, you can tell Gopher's having a hard time because his hat is slightly ajar, or he's just like, he's so, I can't check in four of you at once.
So
and there's one,
we,
one clipboard, by the way.
Right.
One clipboard.
So last week we saw Doc actually observe a ticket for that cop.
Mm.
Now, we weren't quite sure if that was Doc just getting information off of the ticket or not, but that at least made me think, okay, we're starting to have a procedure now, right?
Right, there's something. Right. A deliverable.
This doesn't necessarily dissuade me from that argument, but it went about as well as when SEPTA put in those automatic gates and they were just backed up at the trains, because you couldn't just go through.
They were no more tokens.
Right,
The city screamed. Yeah.
So it's a lot of that level of confusion. Why is no one else helping? Nobody else is helping. Julie
helping.
Is standing at an empty desk. Nobody can get in, Julie. They're all trapped outside.
Well, I was going to bring this up later, but now's a really good time to bring it up, is the count. We got a confirmed count this week of how many passengers are on board.
And it's consistent.
They say it later. 600.
That is consistent. 600 has been a consistent number that they say.
But here, again, this must be just one small entry point, because I don't, to your point, like if these people are just coming in and you're just having a guy with a clipboard named right. Gopher trying to check in 600 people, like,
yeah, it's flawed.
It's a big job. It's a big, but why wouldn't you be closer to the door? Like when you get in the ship, like you let them get in the.
I mean, it's a huge boat. There's a million ways you can kind of choke off the entry points, right? Or you could get a velvet rope. I mean, it works in the airports.
Or can we make an assumption that all that is done outside of the ship before they board the ship? Is that a fair assumption to make?
Well, that was always that's the move, and they're not going to show it because people are just walking in. But then why is he actually checking people in now? It's not like the TSA other thing has you can either check in over here or check in 30 minutes down the road. Like, you know,
but I bet you they put your bags in your room. I guarantee you when you check in there's a thing. Remember when the Heineken was going on board? They probably load your bags and they probably take your freaking bags to your room. I would imagine. I can't imagine you're hauling around suit. But you know how people are walking in with suitcases, just like the other Steubing, you know, when he picked up the little bag and the whole.
Yeah,
it's just weird. I think we're missing something.
That makes sense because we have seen too many people come on this boat with no bags and then have outfit changes for days. Yeah. So.
Okay. Fair enough.
So Mrs. Corwin is very dumb. That's her basic, you know, character attribute is she's just dumb. It's a lot of dumb stuff. Very, very uninteresting.
Super uninteresting. I didn't want to follow it. It was just.
No. It kind of fell in the same spot as the Russian guy. It was just like, all right, this is going to happen for a while. I'm not going to pay attention to it. Mm-mm. It did bring up something we've talked about a few times, and it just really was highlighted in this episode, is we got to talk about this wedge haircut that Julie has and Mrs. Corwin has.
Well, hers was sort of curled out, though. I'll give her that.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was it was a little longer, but it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's awful hairdos. Awful hairdos.
I'm getting anxious to get Julie out of this era. So I looked it up the other day just in terms of how long was this hairstyle popular? Well, it started with Dorothy Hamill in the 1976 Olympics. So we got to be getting to be at the end of the line here.
Maybe you got to wait till the next Winter Olympics.
No.
Is there another skater's haircut that they replace it with?
Do you think it's Mike Ruzzioni?
I mean, Mike Ruzzioni is just a little bit longer. Yeah. Right? It's not that one, you know, or they could go with the Herb Brooks, you know, whatever. I mean, if you want to go with, what's the next Olympics? The 80?
Wait, 80 is boycott. Lake Placid.
We boycotted
the summer. Okay. So yeah, it's Lake Placid.
But didn't Russia boycott Lake Placid?
No, because the America beat them in the hockey, but then they boycotted
'84. That's right. Okay.
I don't know that there's been a lot of winter boycotts. It's always summer. So at least in the '80s, back when it mattered.
It's a weird haircut. It's very much like an androgynous sort of Joan of Arc sort of thing. But it's weird. I just think it's weird. But the way society viewed women at the time, it's weird that a popular haircut was a short haircut.
I think it's not about being a short haircut. It's about being a bowl haircut. It's definitely not a good look. We just got to get on the other side of this for Julie. That's all. Until we get to weird Olivia Newton-John Xanadu the haircuts, but we got time.
I wonder if we'll ever see another Alice haircut. That's one in a million right there. Good Lord. I don't even know what that is. Frankencurl. I don't know what that is.
As dumb as Mrs. Corwin is in this episode, Doc is just as horny.
Oh, and aggressive.
Yeah.
Oh my God, was he aggressive?
Yeah, Doc has gone back to his old ways. And I gotta say, Melanie, fine. That's fine. But everybody was running around for Melanie like she was the last woman on earth. Like, come on, guys, calm down. This boat's filled with people.
There's 600.
Yeah.
There's, you know, God knows how many. I don't know what the ratio is. But it was a little. I didn't like her from the get-go. I thought Mike were both a-holes. She got what she deserved.
She did get what she deserved. Melanie and Jane enter the boat, and literally everybody's ready to go as soon as they get on the boat. Doc's in there. Mike's in there. Doug's in there. Mike's going after Doug and Doc.
It was rough. It was like a free-for-all in there. Like the bunch of horn dogs, man.
Yeah.
Unpack your stuff. Why don't you take a look at your room first? Like,
right. And that doesn't even count. Gopher was trying to get in there too. There was no room for Gopher. There was just not happening.
No, I think Doc looks at him and he's like, get out of here. Just go, Gopher. Yeah. It was a little.
It almost felt originally, and it ended up being a pretty competitive duel. But for a while there, I was like, really? Really, Mike and Doug, you're going to try and out-Doc?
He'll just drug him if he has to.
But Mike was a lot. Mike was a lot, and I guess he eventually won, but I feel like Doc was like, I'm not going to.
Well, he won
because he had myself.
Because he had Julie's haircut. That's why he won. He had his ace. Forget the ace of diamonds. He was the ace of hearts.
Doug's zinger at Doc. Doug had a couple good zingers at Doc, which I liked. He
did.
He came over and was like, you can't trust an adult wearing a sailor suit, which was funny.
I thought that was good.
But then Doc offered to play doctor. So it was just like he went right to it. So
yeah. I think Doc's got like six tricks. You know what I mean? Like he's like, I got six clubs in my bag.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Yeah.
And again, I think last week he stood down a little bit with the cop. This week, I feel like he could have gone further if he wanted to. But, yeah,
That's not his type. We know that. No.
It's not his type.
It's not his type.
So Jim Backus is playing someone who does not feel like standing in this check-in line.
No.
Which is exactly what happened to Stephanie a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
We're now getting meta with like complaints that we have. People are now just complaining about the lines on this boat.
Everyone's getting on board. Yeah.
Backus is playing classic Backus. He's, kind of snobby. He's keeping the time, keeping the dust, all that stuff.
Look dapper. Crazy well dressed. Yeah.
But really has very little to do.
No.
He's just kind of, inquisitive.
Yeah, that's it. There's not much of a story.
Yeah.
Yet.
But it turns out that the reason this is interesting is because Stubing's got a tip from his man at the home office. We're back at the home office.
Oh, here we go again with home office. Yeah. That's where the guy from the pageant was. That's right, where he came from. Waldo.
Yeah. Oof. Stubing got a tip that the cruise line is sending the inspector this week, and they need to like suss them out rather than just like be a normal crew member, like regular hospitality.
But don't pass that along to the other 25 unknown members of the crew. Just keep
that's a good point. Yeah. Like, what? That is a good point.
Why would you only tell three people, four people on the ship?
Also, I mean, at the end of the day, Julie's right, right? Like you treat everybody well every time, you don't have to worry about this.
Right.
But
Captain's like, screw that. Nope. We're going to stack the deck.
We're only going to treat one person correct.
Yeah. So. Until they tell us we can be assured that they're not the inspector. Then we'll just drop them like a bad habit.
Brian's younger friend has arrived. After three whole weeks apart, and they're very glad to be back together. And Doc advises that she is worth waiting for.
Ugh.
Julie says that he's not yesterday's mashed potatoes either.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
But this opens up the storyline, which we might as well get into it now.
All right.
So Brian is an older gentleman. Sarah is a younger woman. When I first watched it, I didn't feel the age gap was obvious enough. Now, on second watch, I guess I can tell, but this might just be something in the 70s where the older gentleman looks a little younger, the woman looks a little older. I wasn't picking up on it as much as I probably should have. No?
I do agree.
But they couldn't go too young, I guess.
Well, I think they should have gone younger than her.
Yeah.
Because it was just weird. It was just weird because it's like, it was just weird. And everything was like saying something, but not saying something. Like, I had enough of it.
We won't be able to function without actually enough of this. It. So long story short, the whole episode is built around this old guy and this young woman. And Julie and Gopher are all kind of judging the age gap. And they keep kind of referencing that they're star-crossed a little bit. And every now and then he'll start coughing.
Well, she'll also say, remember, like, you know, I could leave him.
Right, right. They talk about
no, we had a deal. And you're like,
they talk about her husband and divorce in a real broad way and all this.
They were holding hands, like, not.
Right.
Like.
And I'll point out when we get to it, but about halfway through this episode, I'm like, man, he's coughing a lot.
Oh, and this thing's called The Last Goodbye.
He's obviously going to die. That's the twist. But the twisty twist was that they're actually father and daughter.
Hashtag double twist.
They're not hooking up. So this was, so much like some of the other twists we've had, we've actually had 5 or 6 twists maybe.
Yeah.
In the Love Boat.
For various importance. I like a twist.
So do I. Did you see that coming?
No, because I'll tell you what. Every note about these two was like, oh, these two again.
Yeah.
Here's this. Cause I was just like, just get to it.
Yeah.
You know, the coughing, I get it. But I go back to my original point that I don't think it's visually, it wasn't plausible. Not trying to be mean or anything, but like, he didn't look old enough.
Yeah.
For her to look as old as she looked. Yeah. Like, you got to drive that. Would it made sense if it was somebody's if it was Melanie? Yeah, that would have made sense.
But was that too young? But yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
It would have driven the point home. Because they were holding hands like this, like locking fingers. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and I'm like, this is weird. Like, what?
When you watch it the second time,
it gets weird.
It's very weird. It's very weird. And I will say, I didn't think anything. I was so focused on them killing this guy off that I didn't even think about anything else.
They get two rooms and they're walking away, get their room numbers, and he's like, oh, we have joining rooms. Like, he kept, like, you know what it's like? It's like that eugenics commercial with Frank Thomas in it, right? And there's several different versions, and each one at the end he looks at the guy's wife and he's like, and you'll love it too. Like, it's the same thing. He's not saying it, but it's just creepy.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry. That's not at all the same thing. My apologies, Frank Thomas.
Melanie is knee deep in men when Jane gets mad that she wasn't dragged onto the ship for this. Which, again, we have another situation where somebody's there on this boat trip for 10 days, probably 7 days, 10 days, and she doesn't want to be there. That's just, you're being a good friend, but you're also being a dummy.
Have some self-esteem, Jane. Something. Seriously. What's wrong with you?
I did like Jane's line, you get the dates and I'll get the pits. Take that, Melanie.
That was good. That was good. Did you, I don't want to jump ahead. Go ahead. I'm afraid I'm going to be jumping ahead. I don't want to spoil anything.
I've left a lot out with the Mrs. Corwin stuff because it's almost as bad as her haircut. But the crew thinks that Mrs. Corwin is too obvious to be the inspector. And so their first attempt at shortcutting the inspector has failed because they're like, oh, well, it can't be this person. That's too obvious.
She's clearly not smart enough to do this job.
Right. Which makes sense.
It makes sense. I did see something happen right after they introduced Jane. There was a scene where Brian Sherwood and his lady, whoever she is at this point, go to the bar, right?
Okay.
And Isaac's at the bar. And he says, I'd like to start a tab. And he gives him his room number. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. I'm glad to know that. Like now we, so it's not all inclusive.
Yeah.
You just charge things to your room, but I don't think he tipped him either. I noticed that too. So I was like, well,
it's just so inconsistent. Like we've seen Isaac get tipped. Leslie Nielsen was dropping fives all over the place.
Remember the scotch last week? Remember he poured the glass of scotch and the thing? Yeah. And the guy that got beat up. Yeah, that guy. Like, oh, let me get you a free scotch. It's on the house. Like, oh, okay.
I think the princess is either struggling or they're like downsizing or upgrading because there's been a lot of changes recently.
Maybe they get you to itemize everything.
It would make sense. Stooping's running a loose ship.
The loosest ship. He doesn't even know. He's clueless.
So Brian and Sarah are getting drinks, is what you talked about. Mm-hmm. And Brian is smoking like a chimney in between his martinis. Oh, really? You're dying? You're dying, old man? Like, seriously? It is great, though, because we haven't seen... You don't see people cough on these shows unless it's a plot
for
cough.
A reason.
Yeah, it's a plot cough, right? Yeah, so... But when he coughs, it's basically like, oh, you know, everything's good.
And he's aggressively smoking.
Then I was like, oh, right. One of these is called the long goodbye. I bet you, or the last goodbye. I'm like, oh, that's probably going to mean something.
Yeah. Nobody was like, what's that noise? Well, oh, it's coughing. I didn't hear you blatantly coughing and getting into it. Wait. Oh, here's another thing. Hold on. If somebody's coughing like that, why? If I'm somebody's, I was going to say if I'm somebody's daughter. I don't know why I was going to say that. But say that's your parent, right, and they're coughing like that, and you know that you already met the ship's doctor. Wouldn't you just say something at that point? Or was the deal? I don't know the conditions of the deal.
But they made it sound like they tried to catch it all at the end where basically this was an arrangement. The dad was like,
with all that money, his penthouse and all that. I bet you that's
what that was their thing too. They definitely wanted to highlight how rich he was. Now
she lives in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. So black gold Texas tea.
Weird.
His family's just loaded.
Apparently. Philip Morris.
Like, you literally have weeks. This guy might be dead by the time she gets to the hospital. And this is where you went, was the love boat to just weirdly hold hands a few times. Like, they never even got off the boat.
It is weird. You know, it's a cheap vacation, especially if your daughter's already in L.A. Like you'd said, you know, on a previous episode, you were like, is this just like the community ship? Like, if you live in L.A., you're going to see your neighbor on the boat.
Right.
Why would make... Like now, the more I think about it, wouldn't it make sense for her to say, you don't travel, I'll come to you because you're dying. You don't have to get
New
on
York.
A plane.
Yeah, we'll go on a New York cruise. We'll go in the harbor. Yeah.
I'll just come to your penthouse.
Yeah.
And hang out.
It is Plus, she left her kids. She's got kids. This is why Fred's getting a divorce.
Fred's had it. Fred is done. Fred's like, I'm no Rick. You get out of here. Jeez, yeah.
This is where it's like watching Sixth Sense when you watch it the second time.
Because really
I'm just picking up on everything, including
raging, man.
The very vague conversation they have about her husband, and oh, you can't even bring yourself to call him by his name, and are you going to leave him, and all this stuff, and it's just like
the holding hands, like the closeness, like the dancing.
Yeah.
Did you see him the dancing? And then he's singing to her and stuff. He's basically singing her his death song. What the hell is going on? Like that.
Yeah,
you know what? That guy is Rick. Dude,
sing like you, Mambo buddy. Number 5 or something there, guy. Oh, like, let's pep it up here at the end.
Don't worry, be happy. You could even do it on your own. You could let the band go, like take a break. But no,
the band was trying to wrap it up when he decided to sing that bummer. But we'll get to that.
You guys know blah blah blah. Yeah.
Melanie and Doc are going to the gift shop, and then Mike goes to the gift shop, and then Doug goes to the gift shop. They're all looking for Melanie. That's basically
trolling for Melanie. Just
everybody's just like, hey, Jane, where's Melanie? Which sucks for Melanie or for Jane.
There's something else there. She's just this weird.
Like, we'll get to it when they start going with into the rooms and doing the do not disturb. It's a weird friendship dynamic for both of these twosomes. Being on the boat, the execution of cabins, like there's just a lot of things that if it was one of my friends, a conversation would have been had, which would have made all this a lot easier. There's just some unnecessary plot causing with a lot of their decisions.
I got to tell you something about Deborah Lee Scott. God, I debated saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm so distracted by Deborah Lee Scott, the Jane character.
Right.
I remember seeing someone when I was young that was like a chronic thumb sucker, right? To the point, like, it changed the, like, shape of their mouth, right? Like, their teeth were kind of out. And it looked like Deborah Lee Scott had maybe sucked her thumb too much as a child. She had that, you know, the daughter in, like, European Vacation kind of had that sort of speaking thing. I thought
she was going for almost like a sneer or like a...
Oh, I think it's natural. I think that's just what... Yeah.
She would have been the person I recognized if we had portals, because she was a recurring character on Welcome Back, Kotter. And I knew her from something.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and I don't mean about, it was just a distinctive, it was a distinct physical feature that I was just,
here's what I will say. I don't think, again, weird casting. I don't think the disparity between the two girls was as dramatic as they were trying to go for. I'm not saying that Jane.
I think it's fair. I think that's fair.
I'm not saying Jane wasn't plain. Like, I get what they were doing, but I don't think it was like, this was not a Joanna Kearns as the blonde that we saw or something like that. I just think they, again, you're maybe at the mercy of the casting, but I felt like the gaps in the storylines that they were going for in terms of casting, they didn't make it wide enough to make it obvious. For all the stuff they make very obvious on this show, that didn't feel like it.
I will say this. I don't disagree, but there's no way Mike would have gotten with Jane.
No.
You know what I mean? That was a hard...
I understand.
You know what I mean? Not that that's the measuring stick, but I still, you know what I mean?
Right. And I'm not saying they should have made it where they were, you know, but I just think she wasn't like,
she didn't have a freaking antenna. You know what I mean?
Right. And Melanie had zero personality. Like, it was just kind of like, I don't know, kind of a dud. But Mike was an airhead, so maybe I'm looking at that part of it wrong. But we start Act Two in the dining room. We're in the dining room for a little bit. We haven't been in the dining room very much lately. So while there's no captain's dinner, we actually are spending a little time in here.
I thought it was interesting. Isaac's like dinner jacket is like a peach color as opposed to the red jacket he normally wears.
He's also got a silver one. He's got some jackets, but then it's weird. We've talked about this because we're obsessed with Isaac out of uniform.
Yeah.
Like, he has the most limited uniform in terms of he doesn't have shorts. Mm-mm. Julie's got a million things, right? Doesn't have a long sleeve, short sleeve, but he does have the most like varied color things and stuff like that with his jackets. And so it is interesting.
Yeah, it's just interesting the way they would do that. Have we seen Captain Steubing in civilian clothes? Or Doc? Because I think Julie, because, you know, she goes to dinner. It's a different. She wears
Julie,
different
and thing, then but... Julie, we get a lot of those like stripey kind of casual, but I'm at work t-shirts. Gopher, we had his clothes look exactly the same.
Yeah, same.
Doc, no. Steubing, when he left that time and fell in the water,
was he in? Yeah, maybe he wasn't in uniform. Right? Was he in uniform? I don't know.
He was.
I think so. Maybe. Comedic value, it would have been great. But
you know, we saw him in regular clothes when he was dressed in his comfy robe last week when Julie woke him up at 5 a.m. He had his little Meryl. We've been on a robe roll
Look at this. We have been on a robe roll. I have a new appreciation. I have a robe that I've maybe worn twice, and it's amazing. It's an amazingly comfortable garment. I really need to embrace the robe side of things.
Much like the Christmas episode where I was dressed up like it was Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dressed up in the robe because it was a big robe episode.
It is a big robe
episode. It's also very comfortable. It's much more comfortable than that tuxedo when I wore it.
Well, I think it was just hot. Well, the Santa one, it got hot.
Santa one got hot. Yeah.
You could see the beads of sweat.
We were doing those shows in the fall. Like, yeah, it's like, you know, so.
The temperature hadn't quite turned yet.
There will not be a lot of costumes in the summer episodes. You'll be able to tell.
Like, oh, I can't run the air conditioner and record. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll be fine. How much can I sweat in a couple hours?
Melanie is literally dancing with 40% of the male cast at one point, right? She's just any port in the storm for old Melanie. She's all over the place.
Just oof.
Meanwhile, Julie is obsessed with, quote, Mr. Sherwood and his friend. But Gopher calls it out. Gopher calls it out. Gopher's like robbing the cradle. Cradle snatching is how he refers
to it. Planting little things.
So that was the first time where I was like, oh, they're trying to make it a May-December thing. And up until they said that, I was like, I just wouldn't have thought it because the woman looked a little older than I thought she was.
That's what I thought the whole time. That's why the whole time I'm like, okay, these two. All right.
You know who she reminded me of?
Tell me.
Remember the pregnant woman?
Yeah.
She kind of reminded me of her.
Wanda Smith?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how I remember that. She did kind of look like her.
Yeah. And I mean, we're at the point now where this was actually an episode where we didn't have a repeat. That broke that streak, but
yeah, that is true.
That'll be short lived. Then a weird scene. I figured you hated this. So
which scene?
Gopher asks, Steubing wanders over and Gopher's like, yeah, check out this age gap or whatever. And Steubing's like, I have written down. He's like,
he was plus five, right?
Yeah. Yes. I could see myself with a woman that age. All right, Steubing. Well, first of all, you're not that much older than her in real life.
She's a year old. Yeah. You're older than her by like three years. So be quiet. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Your age is deceptive.
Wait, so how old were they trying to say that Marvin Waterman was? No, I'm sorry. Not Marvin Waterman. Woo! Brian Sherwood. Let's figure out a number.
So let's see. Let's work backwards. So the daughter has.
I thought she was late 30s, maybe early. I thought she was going to be late 30s.
I think they were posing her as early 30s. I agree with you.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
And I assume she said he had been divorced for 4 years. I'm going to go. He's in the script. He's 61 and she's 30 or something like that. That's my official guess.
I think the problem is he didn't look old enough. Well, they didn't do anything to make him look older. Like, they could have made him look real sick or something. They could have done something.
It should have been Bootherton. It should have been old man Bootherton.
Or Mr. Zidretsky. Just put him as the guy. That's plausible. And then there's no doubt, like, oh, these two are definitely not hooking up. That's father daughter. Like, it's not a...
He really should have reckoned there. Like, condense the storylines. That would have been way better.
It would have been way better.
Better use of the Russian guy. Bacchus Waterman shows up and he calls out the crew to Isaac for stealing all the women, which is funny. Because Isaac's like, oh, that's part of the job. I'm like, no, it's not part of the job.
Nothing. How's Roxy?
Or Stephanie. Or Charlene. Charlene, yeah. Come on, Isaac.
Come on.
Doug scores again on Doc. He says, I need to cut in on you for medical reasons. And Doc's like, what's the medical reason? Because I'm sick of you dancing with her. Good job, Doug.
Good job. Get him, Doug. What are the rules for cutting in? How does that work? I wonder what the established procedure is. Because I tell you what, if I'm dancing with my wife and some jamoke comes up and he's like, hey, may I cut in? I'm be like, no, no.
I feel like wife rules may get trumped by, like, that may give you a blockade. But I've been at weddings where people cut in, right? Kind of as like a friendly thing.
Depends how it's done, too. Right? Like, I feel like this Melanie was just sort of passed around.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I felt like. It was like,
no, it did like, feel like that. She was just careening from one very short dance to another.
It reminded me of the girl from the pageant from a previous episode, when we did with Amin, where remember she said, I was voted most likely to. Melanie was voted most likely to.
Yeah, they did. They never made her or Mike dumb,
no.
But they sure didn't make them smart. So
No. I agree.
Mrs. Corwin is now hanging out with Waterman. It's this. I just don't care. I hate that they're wasting Jim Backus. And I really didn't need this much Mrs. Corwin. It didn't feel like there was that much Miss Corwin when I watched it the first time, but when I watched it the second time, I was like, oh, this is a lot of Mrs. Corwin.
Oh, it was hard to stay too. Because to your point, I think they did overall waste Jim Backus, but there was no need to hitch his wagon to her story or her story to his wagon.
No.
They didn't even need her on this ship.
It was like,
there's nothing there.
Because it falls under the inspector storyline, right? So
maybe.
Did they not have Backus for a very long period of time? That's the only explanation, right? It has to be. Like, they just didn't have him for that long.
They couldn't pay him, or, you know, whether they just, yeah, maybe it was a quick thing, because it was just nothing. Oh. And like you said, it's Jim Backus. Like,
yeah.
Remember what they did with Colonel Hogan? I mean, come on.
He should carry an episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think we only get him like one more time.
Why don't we have Jim Backus as the guy that's dying?
I got news for you. We always talk about Steubing being older. Why isn't Jim Backus the captain? You could make him like a Magoo Inspector Gadget.
You could. It's not a bad idea. Bob Crane's not available, which he's not.
Which he's still available right now when this was filmed, but not much longer.
Not much longer.
This all leads to Isaac thinking Waterman is the inspector.
Yeah.
Because he was asking some questions.
Well, he was writing down so much stuff too.
He was writing down some stuff, but also, you know, he's a customer who has complaints about the staff on this boat. So that really shouldn't be the tip off that you're the inspector. It's just like,
maybe
you guys just aren't great at your job.
Exactly. It doesn't. Yeah. One is not exclusive.
This guy who has been standing in the line for 20 minutes and then not able to talk to any women because the crew is hooking up with everybody has some complaints. So
I thought it was funny when he said, you know, well, it looks like the crew is, like you said, just hooking up with all of them. And I was like, you know, it is kind of, isn't there a code of conduct on this ship? Like, wouldn't somebody say to Doc, hey, you're at work, don't act like, you know, isn't there something that, like, the captain never says anything to Doc.
Ultimately, and this is a wild journey for Doc this week, he is hitting every point, like, it's all over the place. But ultimately, you're interfering with a patron trying to have a good time on the boat. If you're acing him out for this lady that is also interested in Mike. It's not like Melanie was like,
he wasn't saving her. Right. He wasn't saving her. Right. It wasn't like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or is she just that type of person that she just wasn't going to say no to anybody? Because that's kind of what I was thinking.
I mean, there was really no indication she did say no to anybody. Three people asked her out. She went with all three of them.
But the thing is,
she said no to Gopher, kind of.
Well, I guess, you know. But the thing is with Doc is, like, then you're leaving it up to Doc's integrity to do the right thing while he's at work. And we all
which is variable. Let's say
Doc's
integrity. It got better as the night ended.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into these room things. So Mike and Melanie go back to Melanie's room, but Jane is in the room because of course she is.
Right.
So these idiots, let's just break it down. Jane and Melanie are in one room. Mike and Doug are in another.
Right.
That's the deal. They know each
other. Two beds, each room. Right.
Right. This isn't some common air, common, you know, whatever. These two are completely flummoxed what to do once Jane is in the room. Now, first of all, they don't know where Doug is. Doug eventually shows up, but they don't even know where Doug is. So they haven't even gone back to the other room to see. Bro code, Doug's going to get out of there if Mike goes back. That's just, and this conversation should have been had already, Mike and Doug. Put a tie on the door. Whatever. Well,
you know, but it looked like Doug and Mike were, there was still very much a competition going on up until whatever happened.
Right. Which is fine. But Mike or Doug stood down like that. That's how that works, right? In real life, they go back to the room. When I was in college, if you walked in and your roommate had somebody there, you went and stayed somewhere else. That's just what you did. Like, it would be weird if Doug was like, nope, I'm staying in my room. Go to the fiesta day.
I'm a light sleeper, too. Yeah. No, I get that.
So they managed to get Doug, when he shows up, to get Jane out for a drink. But then they go back into Melanie's room.
I don't know what. It didn't make any sense.
Go to your room.
Like, why wouldn't you just go to his? It doesn't make a sense. It just didn't make any sense.
You know Jane's coming back.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. They were just creating a problem.
Mike says old buddy like 40 times. I think he literally said old buddy 3 times in 2 sentences.
It's funny. That is funny.
Yeah. Good for Jane, though. She knows the deal, right? Jane gets it. She's very aware. But she still goes and has the drink. She doesn't throw a fit or anything.
Secretly she's thrilled.
Oh, I agree. But most
I will doing give, the yeah, she's going through the paces of a normal.
And yeah. I'll give the show credit, right? Because they didn't throw in that scene or that like, oh.
Yeah, it was wasted energy. Yeah,
Exactly. They it made sense. Like,
I agree.
For as much as she didn't want to go on the boat, she wasn't like Mrs. Cunningham last week.
No. Yeah, it wasn't
sitting in the dark with a cigarette.
That one. Remember, Jane Curtin was going to sit in her room and read that book.
Right, Emerson.
Until she met
right. Lord Byron.
Yeah. Tennessee. Same thing. She could have been in there just sulking, or like stupid Rick.
The do not disturb sign becomes kryptonite for these idiots the whole time. Like, just not, nope, it's on there. It's over. You have to find your own way.
So. Yeah, but if the door was locked, wouldn't you just know? Doesn't that do the same thing as the do not disturb sign? Isn't that just like, don't try the knob because just lock the door, right? Wouldn't that be
Well,
who's going to try? I always wondered that in a hotel. It says the do not disturb. I get in the morning but who's coming in other than that? If it's somebody not to clean your room.
I think people do it so they don't have to get up and do it. I've definitely not put it out at night and then overslept or something like that. And somebody comes in, so.
You're
right. I'm here.
It's kryptonite. Like, no. We can't touch the door. We can't go in that room. Like, all right.
The entire crew shows up at, except for the captain, shows up at Mr. Waterman's room. And he's also in his pajamas. And he's just getting assaulted by these idiots. Like, just, they think he's the inspector.
He didn't tell him to leave, though. He didn't say get out.
Turns out he's an author, not an inspector. And the reason that he's been asking questions and taking notes is because he's working on his next book. His next book, fourth in the series that they mentioned, Marvin the Camel Takes a Cruise.
I'm so glad you had that down. Yeah.
Following up on the previous titles, Marvin the Fish Goes to Hollywood. Marvin the Horse Goes Skydiving, and Gopher's personal favorite. He hadn't read it yet, but he was excited to come back for it. Marvin the Mosquito Falls in Love. So this is I assume children's books that he's writing.
Do you see how big the book was that Gopher put under his arm? No, it was
like Harry Potter.
Like he was reading it. I think it had like 500 pages. Like what? Like I thought it was a children's book.
It was that book Michelle Lee brought when he was,
yeah,
she was
trying to avoid giant, her. Yep. Yeah. That's absolutely right. I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. What is he? That can't be. That must be a separate something.
So if you're an author and there's no internet, mm-hmm. I guess this is how you research in 1978.
I guess so. I mean, I don't
know. Right? Like
I guess it's got to be personal experience, you know, to just, how else are you going to know?
Although, are you telling me that there's a scene in Marvin the Camel Goes on a Cruise about how long it takes people to check you in? Like
maybe his like travel mate is like, just be patient. You know, one of those kind of
things. Okay, George.
You know, that's why you drank water beforehand. You know, one of those kind of things.
One hump or two. Jane shockingly comes back to the room. Who could have seen that coming? And has the do not disturb. So she has to go to Doug's room. Doug's like, you know, no hanky pank. Just I got two beds.
Good,
you know.
Lord. Just
comedy ensues.
I could see if it was one bed.
Yeah.
It's two separate beds that aren't even next to each other. Yeah. Separated by like a thing.
It was a little ridiculous. It was unusual, but it was, you know. But
something must have happened to Jane for her to be that like.
But she went. She went again. Like she didn't.
Yeah.
She did not protest too much. No.
She slept sitting up, but she went.
Brian and Sarah. This is a weird one. Brian and Sarah out on the deck. This is where they do the whole New York.
This is
Beverly
the
Hills thing. I think that was the deck where they shoot Skeet.
I think so too.
But at night. Can't night Skeet.
You can't night. I mean, maybe you could, but they don't.
Yeah. But this is another one when you watch it the second time, it feels very.
Well, because you know it felt weird, but you didn't know why it was weird. Then you know it's weird, and you're like, well, now it's really weird.
And he starts doing another cough again. I thought he was going to go right over the side, like just cough right in.
Well, that's all wrapped up. Now she's free to date another person in her mid-40s.
We end up in Doug and Jane's room. And like I said, this is where the comedy really picks up. She's wearing Mike's jammies, which are too big. Good for Doug. He's being the perfect gentleman.
He didn't do I only have one pair. You're going to have the shirt. I got to have the
you
pair.
Love that.
No, I love
you,
that. I love
were
that.
You disappointed? Were you hoping to get a classic top-bottom pajama set?
I think the time was right for the top-bottom pajama set for these guys, for these lovebirds. Not yet.
Question, and again, like I said, this is a heavy robe episode.
Yeah.
Does Doug, or I guess Jim Backus, do they bring their own robes? They didn't look the same, so I don't think they're cruise robes, both of them. Or, you know, where are those robes coming from? Are they coming from home, or are they part of the ship thing?
That's an interesting question. I am not a robe guy, but I'm a slipper guy, and I know when I go places, I bring slippers with me. I bring my slippers with me.
I have started doing that, and it's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say they'd bring it with them.
That's a heavy thing to pack. A 1978 robe. That's got to be a big parcel that you're putting into your, I don't know, 17 bags of clothing.
Well, it just doesn't fold up very neatly. You know, say it's terry cloth, or I mean, any of that material that makes
that robe Doug was wearing was thick horsehide.
Nice. Yeah, everything that makes a robe great is everything that makes a robe terrible to pack.
Right, right. He's got like elbow patches. The hilarious go to bed scene, Jane can't sleep, to your point, she's sitting up. You know, just comedy, just pure comedy. But like you said, Doug's not trying anything. He goes right to bed, which is surprising.
Yeah.
You know, like go out for another drink. If you're going to He didn't crash have anyway. That
vibe, though.
Just go get hammered. Just go get hammered.
That's true. Just pass out. But you know what's nice, though? He didn't. He was a gentleman.
No, he was. Doug was a good guy.
Who knows? Like, I think time is, you never know what time it is. I don't think there's a clock in any episode. I'm always trying to see if there's some indication of time.
There's a clock once in a while. That's usually the only time there's a time.
Yeah.
Act two wraps up with Steubing, who was not in the room with Waterman, going back because he's still trying to, you know, lay it on thick for the inspector. And he's like, hey, anything I can help you with? And he just gets the door right in the face. Jim Backus. Just nope.
Is this when we learn about a new crew member? Or does this come later from Captain Steubing? I can't remember if it was related to this scene or not.
I may have missed that.
We are briefly introduced. We have a name and we have a job.
Oh, I may have missed this. I'm excited about this. I don't think it's here, though.
Okay. Maybe it's not there. It was brought up.
Okay.
Marvin, the radio operator. Captain Steubing brought him up.
You don't think that's the book? Since Marvin was the title of all those guys?
It was aside from that. I'll go back. No. I swore, and it was about get every, you know, I can't remember the context of it. I wish I would go back, but I remember hearing
that.
If you
made it up, what psychosis would that be if you just made up Marvin?
Made up facts. Yeah, just make up Lobo.
No, not even Lobo facts. Marvin book facts.
Just Marvin book facts.
Marvin the random animal on a random trip.
Could have sworn. Maybe I'm wrong.
Act three begins. Brian and Sarah having breakfast, and she mentions how handsome he looks.
See?
Yeah. And then they talk very closely. But at the end of it, she makes a point to say, don't leave me, which I get it. This is all just
they're trying to muddy the water. It's so ridiculous.
Maybe it's because I'm a classic avoider. Like, I wouldn't want to be in this. I wouldn't want to be in either of these spots. Honestly,
if I'm dying, I'm not going on a cruise.
No.
Why would I do that?
I respect Brian's desire to die alone, basically. But he's kind of trying to gild the lily here, right? And have it both ways. And obviously the daughter is bummed out.
It's just like once you know and you look back on it, I kind of feel like it's just crappy, too. On the part of him, you know, you agreed and all this. I mean, we'll get to some more things later. I think kind of makes me feel like that even more, but
he's kind of like holding her to the stipulations outside.
Right. Like, but he's alluding to it. Like, it's like, he can't talk about it. It's just them.
Yeah.
Just talk about it. So we know what's going on. And I was so over it. Cause I was like, you know what? Stop with the teasing and the teasing and the teasing.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was so focused on the fact that they were going to kill this guy off and how amazing that was that I missed any signs of what was happening. And as I said, I didn't think there was much of an age difference. So I wasn't sure what the problem was.
Every time he came onto your screen, where you're like, all right, here it comes. He's about to die any second in this scene.
I was just like, you know, he's coughing a lot here. Honestly,
long-term booking.
We'll get to it. I screamed when that scene began, when Steubing and Doc show up. I thought I was going to get it. So anyway, we'll get to it.
I felt cheated.
We'll get to it. Classic Mike greets the ladies at the pool the next morning. Hey, sexy lady. No wonder Melanie fell in love with him.
No wonder he won. Such a good lord.
Doug shows up to make fun of the weird way that Jane slept. And that negging works, and they go to breakfast, which is nice.
That's nice.
Now we're back on the inspector beat, and now they're back to Mrs. Corwin. And the reason that they're back to Mrs. Corwin as the potential inspector is because she made three ship-to-shore calls, which, Privacy Act?
That's a little weird. That's a little weird.
And of course, she's the only remaining participant in the cast with a speaking role in English that could be possibly the inspector.
So. Well, they were just so impressed by her intellect level that they were like, well, she must be an inspector. Hmm.
And then she mentions the quality of Isaac's coffee and that it'll go in her next report. And that's all these idiots need. That's just like
a report. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
It's just we're on it. Sure.
We're on it. I mean, half of this cruise every week is filled with lawyers and businessmen and captains of industry. A report could be anything.
Well, I can imagine that, a bartender would love a compliment in a report about the quality of his coffee. Not the drinks he supposedly makes or delivers, but
what do you do? What are you French pressing that, Isaac? What is that called?
They didn't even have French press in the '70s. No, it was a percolator. It's dirt and water. Like just oh, Isaac. Like oh, that's don't. Excuse me. Don't
could,
share
could
that.
You,
with
you. Could I get into the cockpit and compliment the pilot on his fine Folgers crystals?
These are amazing.
We are. We're watching Moonlighting.
Oh, I love that show.
We're binging that.
How far are you into it?
We just finished the first season. It's great. They made a reference to the Folgers Crystals commercials.
Oh, okay.
And I had to explain that to my wife because that is a dated reference. But those commercials are exactly what you remember them being.
There was a little fake commercial on Saturday Night Live that was about the Folgers Crystals. And they go in the restaurant and they say, we've replaced Folgers crystals with dirt and glass. So they're drinking coffee and everybody's bleeding from their mouth. And it was just, I remember the noise. The little percolator song. Yeah. Compliment a bartender's coffee. That's the last thing that he wants to hear.
It's just weird. It's just a weird, it's all just weird. I actually really don't like the inspector bit it's and it just gets worse.
It's a way to loop people in and ugh.
Oh, this is weird.
Okay.
Brian gives Sarah the ace of diamonds.
I'm with you.
And then she calls him her king of hearts.
Which,
what are we doing?
Number one, he is no Owen Hart. Okay. First and foremost, you are not Owen Hart, sir. But it's the same thing. Oh, they just keep going. Let's muddy the water.
Over the line. Like that is not something you do to a daughter.
Well, the second time around was just ridiculous. And I was like, I was preparing myself because I wrote it down. I wrote Ace of Diamond Necklace, really. That's the only note because it's just it's stupid. They make a lot of assumptions about their audience. And I think sometimes I get bothered because it's like nobody in the writing room was like, maybe we pull it back just a little bit. Like it's not necessary. It's just,
I feel like I'm slowly going to agree with you a little bit more that I'm so excited by the ending that all the execution in the middle. But again, I don't know that I would have felt like that the first time I watched it. I do think it's very hard. More than any twist we've had, this one is really, you watch it in two completely different ways.
Absolutely.
Like the Christmas episode wouldn't have been any different knowing that Steubing was the orphan benefactor. Maybe the jewel thief one, because they were just making Gomer Pyle so ridiculously boring.
Yeah. That would make sense.
But it's...
Well, knowing that... our experience so far this season has taught us that like, they don't do anything especially related to a guest star on screen. Like everything means something,
right?
Which on a certain level I do appreciate.
Right.
But I like the idea, but sometimes it can just be a little like, come on guys.
Yeah. Yeah. They were hitting a little hard.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't have to take 15 swings at, let's cloud the father-daughter relationship.
Well, and the other thing is, too, and this is something I definitely noticed when you, like, go through your notes and everything.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, like, bouncing back and forth. I think this was a little thin this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's definitely some stuff in here that maybe didn't need to all be in here. I mean, we're already working with a pretty thin Inspector storyline.
And the fact that I feel like most of these stories are pretty much wrapped up. Like the only, you know what I mean? There were missing a couple things, but like there's so much fluff to this. Like the way they drove the point home with the Brian Sherwood storyline.
Yeah.
Just give me two of those. I don't need four or five of those.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, just, I mean, there's some long, it had a little bit of the Sandy Duncan storyline where there's there's like a 7 minute scene at the end of that.
You can just feel the stretch.
Felt like, yeah.
Well, it even ended early. You know, the ending, it ended, and then there was that long, you know what I mean? There was a scene at the end, and it was just weird. The timing, it was thin. It was very thin. And I think, honestly, that Inspector storyline, I think, kind of what did them in on this.
Speaking of which, so now that they think Mrs. Corwin is the inspector, they've decided to get her drunk at the bar on fog cutters. Do you know what a fog cutter is?
It's funny. My assumption was that this is cranberry and vodka, and boy, was I wrong.
No, it's a lot of stuff, and it's neither of those two things. Everything I was seeing was some combination of orange juice, lemon juice, white rum, gin, brandy, and sherry. That's a lot of stuff.
I had no idea.
It's not as complicated as a zombie, but it is in the family. It seems like it's a tiki drink.
It's a lot of booze in there.
It's a lot of booze.
What is it like? It's like a Long Island iced tea, but you know.
And I like, mean, as
booze goes,
as someone who has a up and down with gin, but then you have rum, but then you have brandy, and doesn't sherry just end up dominating all that anyway? Like
That's a
hangover cure than anything. Well,
didn't she have like three empty? How many? Like, I wonder how many, because she did give the impression
that she had two on screen.
Which, at least, you know what happens if you're counting. So
yeah, exactly. But really, ultimately, thank God we got to see at least a little bit of the amazing chemistry between husband and wife team of Gavin and Patty McLeod, you did not know were married, or that it was his last name. So.
Nothing. Said they were married aside from her last name. Other than that.
It's so funny, too, because after I figured out who she was and that they were married, I just Googled it a little bit because I did go down the rabbit hole of that haircut.
I respect
that. It's the only picture of her in this haircut. She's a very stately older woman in every other picture. So
she
this
older
was just
than her. Him, you think?
I think they're about the same age.
Because I got an older vibe from her.
Well, it's hard to tell.
Well, you never know. You never know.
Late 70s, it's very hard. I mean, look at last week. Those ages were all over the place last week.
Yeah. Well, they always play with the ages.
This is a sweeping generality. I think anytime one of these women on the show is over like 35, they make her look 55.
Yeah,
or that
weird.
Was just the style or whatever. But
well, last week, how old was she?
Yeah, she was 45. And
you know, but they made her look
60.
Yeah,
and they were calling her like a spinster.
Spinster and all. Yeah, that was. It's weird with the age, but then at the same time, when we look at the Brian Sherwood,
yeah,
he doesn't look in his 60s. Is I wonder if back then, maybe like male vanity would do this. Be like, well, we need to get a guy in you know, lower 50s to play a guy in his 60s. Maybe it was like a thing, like a vanity thing. Like the guy's always going to look a little younger.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't know. It's just odd because he was just clearly not old enough to play this role.
No, it wasn't an odd enough age episode where I looked up the ages because it wasn't one of those, but it was definitely something where like, just the disparities between certain groups were would have made it easier for me. And maybe they were trying to throw you off the scent, but
it just didn't jive. But I mean, it is what it is.
So now we're back to these two. And Brian says, a fine cognac, a perfect ending to a perfect meal. Nobody says that to them. You have a daughter. In 20 years, if you take your daughter out to dinner, you're not going to sit back and be like, a fine cognac. You don't do that when it's you and your daughter. You do that when it's a date.
They're doing it again. That's what I'm saying. It's like the 15th swipe.
It's getting worse. It's getting a little more egregious. And maybe it's because, well, maybe it's because they know they're going to reveal it soon, but.
But even then, let it breathe a little bit. Just, and not have them hold hands like this. Yeah, nobody's talking to their daughter.
He is very smooth, which is a shame for several reasons.
But that's the problem. Like, why are you trying to be, it's your daughter. Why are you being smooth in front of your daughter? Or to your daughter, in the direction of your daughter?
Exactly.
You're just weird.
And it's funny, too, because the only time he's not smooth in this whole episode, well, two times.
When he's coughing.
When he's coughing and dying at the end. And when he's talking to Julie in the beginning, because he's nervous, right? So there's no indication he actually is smooth. So why are you this smooth around your daughter?
Unless he's just trying to put on like this strong front. But then if you're doing that, why are you going all these weird, why are you singing your death song? Oh, get to it. It's just awful.
I wish I had written those lyrics down. Mrs. Corwin, drunk as shit, spills the beans that her daughter or niece, this is how drunk she is, paid for the cruise, and that's who she's been calling in with her reports. Stunning. Just stunning that this plan to suss out the inspector has failed yet again.
An amazing waste of time.
Yep.
How many days have they wasted now? This is the third person or the second person?
It's the second person, but they wasted at least two complete days. Yeah. Instead of just doing good work.
Right. That's leadership right there. That's Merrill.
And you know what? I also think that somebody called in to the Princess Cruise Lines and was like, you should get an inspector on this boat.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I was on there and they were all just dancing. Nobody was working. Every other time the doctor's chloroforming these women, like it's.
There's a lot of questions. That's why they're all nervous.
Yeah.
Where'd you hide the bodies, Gopher?
Because they're guilty.
Also, we never saw that chimpanzee leave the boat. That's all I'm saying.
They went chasing him. We never did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We saw the dog leave, but not the dog chimp.
Dog left. No, maybe not the chimp. Maybe one of the puppies left.
I forgot the puppies. Terrible episode. Jane and Doug return after the night of romance, only to have a role reversal where now Doug's locked out of his room. Again, guys, let's have this convo. Listen, you're hooking up with her.
Just let me know.
We're just switching rooms.
Let's drop
the charade, Doug. Like, what are we doing here?
Or how about you consistently? Why don't you just stay in that room? Like, you already wrecked that room with your.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you got to go in this room, like, and spread your stuff. Why you got to fuck up two rooms?
Yeah, nobody's being classy here.
No.
Like, what are we doing?
I mean, I guess there's housekeeping, so.
They really literally just do the previous scene, but in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Exact same thing.
Except that, you know, now it's time to go to bed. And Jane's like, yep, bedtime. Like, no.
She wasn't ready to go to sleep. Good Lord, she was.
Good for Jane. And good for Doug. Doug was a good guy.
Good for Jane, good for Doug. I agree.
Here we go. So Brian and Sarah, they're in this a lot. Brian and Sarah are dancing the night away, which the whole crew finds incredibly romantic and sweet and all that stuff. They're just, again, this room is empty now, right?
Last couple on the dance floor. Beyond the whole room. Yeah, you're
right. It's them, empty. The three staff members, and however many people are in that band.
Mm-hmm.
The band wraps up very abruptly. Much like at Christmas when they just stopped the Christmas carols. Like
somebody pulled the plug on their vocal cords.
Okay, everybody, that's it. Like the Chuck E. Cheese band had more of a pause in between.
Yeah, it wasn't even at like an ending point. Yeah, power went out.
But you also wonder if this band was like, we got to get the hell out of here. This old man and his young girlfriend are not going to leave.
Well, they're like, well, how much longer can this guy really stay awake?
Smooth Brian gets them to play one more song. And boy, is it not the song that you want to end your set with? Yikes. Good Lord.
Nobody's chanting for this song. Nobody.
Why do they know this song? Why does that band know this song?
Hey, boys, you know Blackity, Blackity, Blackity?
Hey, and they're like, hey, you know the song at the end credits of every horror movie that was made in 1962?
Well, he says it to the keyboard player. You know how duck a duck boo, and then all of a sudden he just goes like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then everyone starts playing. I'm like, you only talk to one guy.
Yeah.
So now that
is this like the most popular song in 1978? Is that why everybody knows it?
You got me. I thought it was like, creepy. Even if the song
play, there's got to be a morning after or some horrible song.
Like, can you do short people? Something. Can we just distract ourselves?
So the last lyric that Brian gets out is until the last goodbye, and Sarah goes running. Like, come on, Brian, man. Like, of course that's going to upset your girlfriend or your daughter, whoever this is going to upset them. Right. he chases her for a step.
Bro, then goes, I was going to say like, not even right a full down. Step.
Yeah. He goes down like Barry Keys trying to get a gig.
She didn't even look back. She didn't even look back, this dude.
Nope. He should have, like, honestly, go into the drum set, man. Like, give me some real comedy here.
Give me some value. Yeah.
Grab the mic stand.
Or land on the keyboard. Just make a mighty din. This is your chance. Like, why are we not painting with broad strokes here? Like, this is the big scene.
Also, I'm glad that the doctor left immediately before this guy crapped out. Like, Doc hasn't had a patient in weeks.
So. Was the last patient was Charo, and there was nothing wrong with her.
Brian shows up to Sarah and just kind of asks what she's gonna. Was he apologizing? I was just checking on her. Like,
I don't even know. I don't even know. Well, here's the other thing. If you notice, he knocked on her door.
Right.
They have joining rooms.
But they're not staying together.
So wouldn't you just go in your room and knock on the joining room door? What's the point of having joining rooms? I'm just like...
Well, Mike, that would ruin the plot.
Yeah, but it's like they forgot that they told you that.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, just go in your room and.
But again, that scene was tacked on because it ends with Sarah asking, "What am I going to do without him?" Yeah. You know, like, but yeah. That was there. That
a terrible scene. So unnecessary.
Most of Act 3 didn't need to exist.
Dude, they could have wrapped. This could have been a two act cruise.
Yeah, I agree, man.
Next
morning, they saved it all for the next morning. There's a lot going on.
This could have happened that night. Like this. Well, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see what. Okay.
But there's a lot. There's a lot packed in back here.
Yeah.
So Jane and Doug are getting coffee. But she comes back in and Mike and Melanie are doing a Can't Hardly Wait where they basically thank Doug for, you know, taking Jane out.
So awful.
And a classic Hallmark misunderstanding, like all that kind of overhearing stuff. Jane runs off. Good for Jane, though. She manages to hand Doug two empty cups of coffee and slap him.
She did slap him.
Those cups were not filled.
I didn't even notice the cup because I was so focused on the slap. That's disappointing.
So, then she goes and runs off into the tiniest elevator ever. It looked like she was going on the Starfleet deck or something.
Well, she was avoiding that elevator that still smells like sausage. That's why she hates pork.
At this point now, we're to believe there are like 58 elevators on this.
Barely. Board. Lido deck, Alfredo deck, all these different.
You can't make a call.
You know, what's funny is we've seen multiple elevators, but not one lifeboat.
That's true. And we've seen people
maybe in the
drink.
Beginning scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Julie comes and finds Sarah downstairs alone and asks where Brian is. Of course, Julie asks where Brian is.
Of course. Of course.
Did you guys break up?
What are you guys doing? Is there issues in your relationship?
Sarah let him sleep in, which somehow also gets Julie excited. Like, come on, Julie, calm down. Like,
because part of her is like, oh, she go knock on the door.
It'd be funny if Julie was like, All right, Lynn, I'll be seeing you around.
Yeah, gotta go. Okay.
She's so weird. Is Julie wearing in this scene? She's never worn anything like that the entire time.
I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing.
It's like an oversized polo shirt, like she was going steady with the captain of the rugby team or something.
It's just weird. Yeah, I'm wearing Brad's shirt. Like, what? Why are you wearing Brad's shirt? No.
She's never dressed like that.
No.
Ever.
And she normally dresses kind of the same. It's a kind of a similar sort of look. And then they.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
it's odd.
Wardrobe budget.
Mrs. Corwin and Bacchus are sitting there talking at the table. This is where she is giving him ideas for his next book. She mentions Starsky and Hutch, RIP Hutch, who just passed away.
Yeah, I still love some Starsky and Hutch.
But again, no need for this scene either.
There was nothing seen. Completely.
And I guess, ultimately they're trying to show the chemistry these two have because they get together at the end in the most who gives a crap.
Who cares? Who cares? Just get off the boat. Ugh. Can we be introduced to a different couple of people? Can we split? If we get bored with these two, can we learn about different people?
Yeah. Can we move on? You know what? It's kind of like, awful. It's like a Skins game. Can we just wrap this one up and carry it over and we'll have extra characters from next episode or last episode?
If Bacchus and Corwin was a choose your own adventure book, I choose not to participate. I'm not opening that book.
Marvin changes the channel.
That's it. That's a good one.
So they're 0-2, right? So now the crew's like, crap, I guess we just have to do our jobs. And so they set out to take care of the other 598 passengers.
There we go. There's our count.
This is why secret shoppers exist and work. This is what they want you to think.
Could be so, anyone.
Captain Steubing, man filled with all this integrity, allegedly, basically tried to shortcut the inspector.
Sure he did.
Guys should have been doing a good job the whole time.
He should have been like, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what he should have said. Verbatim.
100%. Treat everyone like they're the inspector every time.
We are here at the Pacific Princess. We treat everyone like they're family. You can see him saying some nonsense like that, too. Yeah.
It's us in the Olive Garden. We're like the floating Olive Garden.
That's it. Without the breadsticks.
Doug goes to apologize to Jane.
As he should.
Did not take very long.
No, she was just fine with it. She forgot why she was even mad.
But of course, Doug is in love with her.
It always happens. Some kind of spell is put over you when you get on this boat. Like, you can't just like, oh, I'd like to get to know you better. Nope, it's all or nothing. I'm in Cedars-Sinai Hospital or I'm getting married. There's no in between.
Mike and Melanie show up. And they wanted to use the cabin, and Jane's like,
eat it.
And do not disturb them, which again, you have, to your point, ruined both cabins now. Why do you
What's
have this
the point?
Right. Go to the other cabin.
Why would you even want that cabin?
The cabin logic in this between these four people I'm flummoxed.
It's just, I became a big fan of Doug.
Yeah.
There's something about really that good. Actor, too, that's just very likable.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He's really good.
Sal Viscuso.
Yeah, he was in everything. He actually had a couple episodes of Spencer for Hire, which I noticed today when I was... I know what a fan you are.
I do love Spencer for Hire.
All right, here we go.
All right, here's the big scene.
So Sarah is knocking on Brian's door. And here comes Steubing and Doc, slowly, solemnly, and sad. And I am telling you, I was like, oh my God, they're going
to come. Here we go. Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't even like I didn't dislike Brian. I was
no,
just
but
like,
it was just like they're really going to do it. Yeah, they're really going to do it.
Go through with this, right? So Steubing asks if they can go into the cabin and talk. Sure. Clearly bad news.
Good news can be told in a hallway.
Right. So they take the drama right out of it that he's not dead. She asks, Doc's like, no, he's not dead.
Yeah, so, they tease you with the relationship thing the entire time, and yet they let you off the hook with no, he's alive, right, very quickly.
Like, why wasn't that, honestly, shouldn't that have been the last scene of the previous act? You at least sit through a commercial?
Some suspense, there's no suspense, but they build suspense for the whole episode with this, like,
right,
non-defined romantic relationship.
So he's not dead.
Not dead.
But he's in great pain. And so Steubing had a launch take him to Los Angeles.
What does that mean? To get to a hospital. What's a launch?
So I intended to look it up, and I have this blank spot next to launch, so I clearly forgot to look it up. Our theory when we watched it was that it's like a little boat.
Secondary boat. But how far away were they from Los Angeles?
Well, they were only an hour offshore when... They were only an hour away from docking when he told them this. So they must have been close. But I get the impression it's like, yeah, basically like a speedboat or something.
Fair enough.
I can't imagine it was just like Gopher in a rowboat with this guy.
I mean, modern day, I would imagine there'd be a helicopter involved, right, something like that. When he said that, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Okay.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
A launch.
Well, it was different. It was different.
Now I'm wondering if, you know, we always talk about there needs to be a jail on this boat. Maybe they just would put you in a launch.
Just shoot. She should have told the captain last week. Mm-hmm.
Steubing reads the letter from Brian. Sarah asks him to read it, which is so weird.
I was so uncomfortable. Like, why would you don't even know these people? That's when you take the letter and you go, thank you, you know, and you read it in private.
Or give me the, I'm too upset you read it. Or like she's sobbing. She tries to read it and her hand shakes or something. Give me,
I never learned to read. Like, put a whole nother layer on it. You put like a Dexter Manley sort of twist.
What
on
a
it.
Twist.
Yeah. I never learned to read.
Double twist. Fellas. Of course, the main reason that Steubing has to read it out loud is because they have finally revealed that they are not lovers, but in fact, father and daughter.
Just so dumb. Just the longest lap I've ever been on. It just wouldn't end.
That said, I still didn't get it till he said father and daughter.
Really? I didn't get it either.
I was just kind of bummed out that they didn't go through with the death.
I was just annoyed at like the vagary. At this point, I was over it. I didn't even care. I was like, okay. All right. That makes sense.
So Sarah begs Doc to tell her which hospital they sent her dad to, because she wants to basically ignore his final wishes and go hold his hand. And it's been a long time since episode 4, where Adam Bricker just gave away Maureen's medical information to Bill Bixby with nary resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But he stood his ground this time, and he would not tell him.
Because he's probably loaded. What? Why was he even there? If the captain was just going to... Yeah, but he didn't say a word.
Yeah, but if she had like actual medical question follow-ups...
Fair enough.
That's his job. I will say when, okay, so Doc can't tell, and they do a nice little scene where, you know, he's pained by this, right? But he's not.
Yeah.
And then Steubing says, Adam. Now, at that time, I had enough time to think about it. I thought he was going to make Doc break confidentiality. Say
it. Yeah.
Yeah. But instead, Steubing does the right thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's the right thing. Tell this guy. Tell this daughter where what hospital her father is at, because I guarantee
that. But that's her dad's dying wish.
Dying wish, dying schmish. I'm telling you right now, his plan was not to be in a hospital in L.A. when he lived in New York in a penthouse. Like, this was not the plan.
So do you think she's going to show up there and just smother him with a pillow?
Oh, he's already gone by the time she gets there. He dies 5 minutes before she arrives. He fell out of the launch. Unfortunately, he can't drink water. Yeah, it was complications.
Wouldn't it be funny if the launch didn't make it to shore because all those ketchup bottles that they threw?
We ran.
And the ticker tape, like it just makes the water around the shore of LA.
We're stuck. It's like that garbage island that's floating in the Pacific Ocean, but this one's made of ketchup and.
They're trying to swim them out. Tape.
I had nothing at the end. I was like, okay, you know, it was just ridiculous. Cause here's the thing is they did zero communicating. They did no communicating, like regular communication between a father and a daughter. None of that happened. So it was like, so what was the point? Do we just go on this to make people think that we're a couple? Is it some kind of weird fetish? And then they it's just, I saw no point of this get together. They didn't talk about anything.
They did a pretty long bit, which again was to throw you off the scent about the first time he ever took her to a nice restaurant. And they do a whole thing about she was impressed by the maitre d' knowing him and all this stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. Why not just make that about the boat? The first time he took me on this boat or a boat or
I would give a reason. Yeah, we're back.
To make it a little more special. This is a weird choice. And to your point, this guy clearly could die at any time. And now I'm 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Dying serving ice cream. We know what happened to Brian Sherwood. Chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry?
Oh, man. Fog cutter is a la mode, it's going to be a problem.
What's with the frozen drinks?
The crew comes down. They are absolutely devastated by having to do their jobs.
Devastated.
So Isaac, I get, although it sounds like you're just pouring the same amount of drinks you would have poured anyway. Right. Like Isaac's not, is Isaac like pouring drinks outside of the bar? Like why would he have more work to do?
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's like 600 people waiting for a drink from him. And plus,
Julie and Gopher, at least I understand, because that is probably more of a, you have to be a little more proactive than Isaac's job.
Well, those interactions aren't based on like somebody wanting a product either. Like you're forced into those situations. Like you almost have to like instigate those social interactions in order to be that, fill that role too. So it's just different.
And then we like Steuben comes down and, you know, everybody's wrecked. I assume this is a different day because I think he has different clothes on when he came down this time.
Yeah. Like he had black. Well, he had two different things. Part of the episode, he had the white shirt, black pants. Part of the,
well, you wouldn't tell a daughter that her dad is about to die in shorts. So
It's funny that you just said that, and I know this. I was a driver for a hospital commander years ago when I was in the military, and we had I just happened to be on duty, 24-hour duty, and we had somebody pass away, right, who was in our unit, and I had to go with that hospital commander. We got this news at like 2 o'clock in the morning. He went to his office, put on his dress uniform, forgot his socks. So he didn't have socks on, which is kind of silly. I drive him to his now widow's house. She doesn't even know what happened. And he shows up, you know, at their door.
Yeah.
2:30 in the morning in the dress uniform.
Yeah, probably not. You probably know what shorts. That is before you open.
Yeah, you got to know. But he wasn't wearing shorts. Like,
No.
Well, wait a minute. He's not announcing a death. He's just saying your father was taken to the hospital.
I think it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, but how is it all about, I can't tell you last. How did this guy tell the captain his last wish? Like, it's just, the more I think about it,
I don't think he told the captain. I think he's having whatever, Doc examines him. Doc. He tells Doc. Doc tells Steubing.
Well, then wouldn't... Yeah, I guess. It's... Yeah.
We think, we continue to think that Doc directly reports to Steubing. So.
Right. That's sort of what I'm trying to figure.
That felt correct to me, at least. That those two would show up and do it. Yeah. It wasn't, like, Isaac wasn't there. Like, it would have been weird. That was appropriate. Like, those were the people that should do that.
What if it was that other, the deputy captain that did this?
Captain Deputy?
Yeah, what Waterman or Wegman or Wetterman or whatever his name is, Captain Wetterman, Lieutenant Wetterman.
No, I know who you're talking about. Like, I don't remember his name now. Something like
that. Something like that. Yeah. So many names.
Go back to one of those episodes. It's in there. Mrs. Corwin and Mr. Waterman come down the steps. They're hooking up now. Sure. Just no like indication that. Of any of that.
So dumb. But,
like,
so unnecessary.
This is lazy.
Here's it's a character. Okay, here's a character. Stick them together.
It's okay for people to leave the boat alone. It really is.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's not important. Nobody would have thought, oh, that sucks that those two didn't get together.
Mm-mm. But you don't have to like just jam two guest stars together for lack of a greater story.
Right.
Because aside from that, this whole thing, that's all they did with both these characters was them thinking that they were the inspector. That's it.
Yeah.
And then the guy speaking the same Russian phrase, and that's it. You had three characters.
They kind of came in together, and you know they were hanging out a little bit. But I mean, she's been rocked off her socks for like the entire trip.
Yeah, these fog cutters. You know,
these fog cutters aren't coming out of you the next day.
Well, maybe that's why she hooked up with him.
What about Lovey? Did anybody think about Lovey in this situation?
I just heard a splash at the very beginning of the cruise.
Good for Bacchus getting back on a boat, though.
Especially for a tour longer than 4 hours or 3 hours or whatever it was.
Oh, Magoo. Speaking of hooking up, Mike and Melanie are saying their goodbyes, and Mike is saying his goodbyes.
Yeah, he's saying good riddance. Like, he's like, he I didn't even... You get your he last name. Her to
the showers, like
nothing to her face. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no.
That's he cool. literally says, "Well, we'll see her sometime, okay?" And then she's like, "When?" And he's like, "You know, sometime."
I mean, it's a. I'll say this: it's a ballsy. Mike is ballsy. If he's nothing else, you know, he's
confident. He does not lack confidence.
No,
but. Bad news for Mike. Doug comes downstairs and says he's going to get a cab for all four of them. So that is still going to be awkward.
He's like, damn. But now it's almost like the roles are reversed.
Right.
Mike is taking one for the team, hanging out with Melanie. Yeah, and that's all right.
Doug and really Jane kind of win the day at the end here.
I think so. I think they were. Yeah, I agree.
Gopher feels bad after Steubing and Doc are getting the daughter to the cab to get to the hospital. Gopher feels really bad that he thought the old man was banging that girl. Which, I don't know.
Don't feel bad.
How would you know?
Yeah. I mean, not that he's the most like savvy, street smart person around, but it's all right. And don't you have work to do?
Well,
that's two like, people of 600.
Well, I guess going out, whatever. The inspector's done.
It's done. We're good.
There's been some weird like ending of scene act four lately.
Yes.
And this is another one where it's almost like they're trying to make Julie like, I don't know, the poignant speaker at the end. Because then she's like, why is it that we always think the worst of people instead of the best? I don't know, Julie.
Julie's crazy. What?
You were comparing that guy to potatoes earlier.
Yeah, come on. You're all over the place. There's no stop.
It's just weird. There's been a few episodes like that where it kind of ends with a poignant Julie thing. And then we come back to act five for hilarity.
I don't like the act five. I don't like, because it's very rarely am I like, I'm so glad we came back for this 30-second little comedy.
You know bit. When Act 5 is good? When Act 4 is so full that you can't actually have the wrap-ups.
Well, then it makes sense. Then
this makes sense. No sense because we're wrapped.
Forcing it. Yeah.
The only thing we didn't wrap is who was the inspector? I know the thing everyone was so...
Who is it?
Yeah. Who could it be?
Email was blowing up. Yeah.
The inspector is a guy who never actually made it on the boat. Because now, is this... Correct me if I'm wrong. The explanation was... So the inspector shows up.
Yeah.
And Stubing's like, well, I didn't see you on the ship. And of course, he knows everybody. So, you know, that's a clear indication.
There's dinner with all of them, too. So,
yeah. But we have not had a captain's dinner in a while, either.
No, that's true. Been a bit.
The guy, the actual inspector, who doesn't even get a name, right? He's just the inspector. Was his father was driving him around, was driving him to the boat and somehow got lost. And then when he went looking for him, he missed the boat. Is that what it is?
If you were lost, why would you get on a boat? You know you didn't come from a boat.
How did you get lost if your father was driving you? How did the father get lost?
How was that guy driving?
Because he can't speak
English. he can't be driving. He didn't even speak English. Like what? Yeah, it was just this weird. Come up with something quickly, or he was just, or it was a blatant lie.
Russian guy comes out. They embrace. To your point earlier, Julie asks what the phrase means, and the phrase means "Where's my son, the inspector?" and that's it. So you know, that boat inspector is fired, right? Like your entire job.
Well, no. Then the Pacific Princess just gets a great rating because he can't.
Oh,
he owes him an inspection, but he can't say, "Well, I didn't do it. I missed the boat." What do you mean you missed the boat? Oh, because my 105-year-old father from Russia drove and then wandered off. And somehow when wandering off, he jumped on a cruise ship and left for 10 days. And I'm still here in the parking lot.
Where did the guy stay?
What, does he not have any work contacts? Like, do they not have a phone? They have a phone.
Why didn't you call the boat? Do you think he's like dredging up the lake? Like,
like what?
Well, I think you're right. I think he was afraid he was gonna get in trouble, so he was just riding this out, assuming dad was on the boat.
Or how do you make that assumption when someone has disappeared for 10 days? Your assumption is they must have gotten lost and wandered on a boat. Like, you don't,
I bet you
don't call the police.
Pretty nervous. I bet you he was like, feeling pretty nervous when that launch came by.
He's like, oh, this could go bad. This could go bad. Yeah.
What is the Russian guy doing that whole trip? He's only got the clothes on his back.
Nothing.
He doesn't have a room, clearly, right? Is he like...
Oh, no.
Is he breaking in?
Yeah, same clothes. Where is he eating?
Right.
What is he drinking? He can't put anything on a tab because, like you said, he doesn't have a room. He can't go swimming. Right? The only thing he could
That would have the clothes. Bumped this episode up.
And give him a rifle.
Don't even reference it. Just one of those scenes. He's just swimming in his suit.
Hitting that ball. Or he's practicing ballet at 5 a.m.
And that's it. That's the end of what... Well, it was not a particularly good episode. And that's disappointing because I think initially I thought it was better than it really
was. So did I. I see that Art Bear name, and I'm like, well, it's got to be a classic. Yeah.
And I was ready to disagree with you at the beginning of this, and the more we talk about it, I think I was wooed by the twist.
Yeah.
And then the actual execution, and like I said, I think we both ended up agreeing with the age difference wasn't obvious enough. For all the subtlety that doesn't exist on this show, that was a little too much nuance.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
But yeah, I would say... It's funny. I really ended up liking the Doug Jane thing.
Same here. I enjoyed that.
But yeah, overall weird episode. I did like the 4 minutes when I thought the guy was dead and they were doing that bit.
Oh, I was hoping. just because I wanted to see if I wanted to see it play out. You know, don't call it that if the guy doesn't die.
Right. I think this is a middle of the pack episode.
Yeah, I'd say that. Nothing crazy, nothing terrible. But
right, and as much as neither of us like the Inspector storyline, it's better than a lot of the quote third storylines in some of these shows. I mean, it was not egregiously bad like some of the other ones.
I just feel like this episode is very forgettable.
Yes.
Like when we do four or five more, whatever, three more, like there's nothing about this that's going to stand out.
No, you're right. And very short, really very short on crew action again.
Yeah. It wasn't much.
It was very,
it wasn't enough to go to make an episode out of what,
which is funny because I feel like the other ones that we've had that have been similarly thin had small casts.
Yeah, that's a great point. Not this one.
There were eight people on this thing.
Well, every storyline had at least four people involved.
Right.
Well, not every, but.
But yeah.
You know, essentially in the end.
Plus the Russian, you know, he was.
Right, right.
He was just, you know, sprinkling in his goodness all the time. Captain of the week.
I really enjoyed Jane. I enjoyed that storyline. I'd say Jane gets my captain of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jane and or Doug easily could have gotten it.
I give him co-captain of the week.
Yeah.
Doug and Jane.
I went with Mr. Adam Bricker. And the reason I did was this was full Doc. He starts off the episode horned up. He's going after a youngin. He's fighting off youngsters for this lady. He's taking jibes, but he's getting his own right back in there. But then in the second half of the episode, he's, you know, feeling nostalgic about that lovely couple over there with Julie and Isaac. Then he's saving lives.
Yeah, you know what?
Sticking to HIPAA.
He's hitting every character trait of Adam.
Honestly, the only thing that didn't have to be full, the only thing that didn't have to be full Doc was he didn't have his like Dean Martin zingers.
Well, he didn't hook up. He wasn't sharing PJs.
That's true. So there were still a few things missing, but I thought ultimately we got both ends of Doc and a very rare, very rare Bernie Capel having to be serious. So far.
Yeah. Yeah. I those are very good points. Very good points.
Walk the plank.
That whole storyline, basically, I would say walk the plank.
Yeah.
Are we lovers, ex-lovers? Are we, divorced couple? Goodbye. I just was either that or Gavin McLeod's wife. She could take a, I don't want to say anything terrible, but I'm going to stick with the storyline as a whole. It was just enough already. Enough. We get it. Like, just, I get it. Take two good swings, maybe three good swings at like clouding the water, but come hit me with five or six and all these other different, like the cognac mention of that and the dancing all crazy click.
Ace of diamonds.
This it was stupid. Yeah. It was just terrible. So I would say that storyline as a whole, got to walk the plank.
I am going to go with the other storyline that we didn't like, which was the Inspector, which again was just an egregious use or lack thereof of Jim Backus. And honestly, Gab McLeod's wife, she was fine. I just don't love
not much there.
I don't love the ditzy stuff for anybody. And I sure don't like it for like five, six scenes. It was just unnecessary. I can always tell how little I like something by the notes I don't take.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like there's not even anything worth talking about in these scenes. And they're not they're non-consequential at all. Like, you know, it's like,
well, it was just such a non-storyline. There was nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it was square peg, round hole to put those two together in the end.
Is basically one. This is one storyline and a twist.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
So. Yeah. All right, that's Turtles in a recap.
Let me tell you where you can find us. We are the Love Boat Project on YouTube at Love Boat Project. On the, what's the one? Instagram. I'm sorry. Love Boat Project. We have a Facebook.
You're group. Not the inspector.
Ooh, I'm not the inspector. You can reach out to us. Email us. The Love Boat Project at gmail.com. I checked the account this week.
Still no emails?
No, still no emails. I check it once a week. Never an email.
You That's could be fun. First.
You could be first. Finally, you can listen to us anywhere you can find your audio podcast. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Google Play. So please like, subscribe, download, all those wonderful things.
You can listen to all of our previous episodes.
That's right. The catalog is up to date.
Yeah, it's a lot. And most of the episodes are longer than this one. So talking about a better show.
Yeah. It's funny whenever we get a show like this, I'm like, I wish it was just a little bit better.
Or a little bit worse. This was a middle of the road, and these are always the ones that are just like, you said, forgettable.
Yeah, just not a. Yeah, I agree. All right.
Well, thanks for listening. We will be back again next week. I have not looked ahead, so I actually don't know what next week's episode is, but it's got to be better than this one.
Anything was better than this one.
So until then. Thanks for watching, and we will talk to you next time.